everyone, and welcome to Minute 140 of Season 8 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast, where we FUBAR our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off this week is Heather Baxendale of Word of Hellmouth. Welcome back to the show, Heather.
Thank you for having me back on for this last time. This has been so much fun.
I hope you brought some towels and wipes to get all that blood off of your hands.
I like it. People are less likely to approach me in public when I'm covered in blood.
probably true.
We do what we can.
That's right. So minute 140 begins with a shot of a German soldier trying to keep all the blood in. And ends with Ryben doing something both heroic and stupid.
Yes. Yes.
So we ended things yesterday with Jackson up in the clock tower, you know, taking out a whole bunch of Germans along the way, doing his best to keep his calm as he's trying to stop, trying to take control of everything that's going on. And at the very end of yesterday's minute, he missed him, and then he shot him the second time and hit him right in the throat with blood spurting out. And this minute continues with that blood continuing to spurt out of the guy's hands, I guess you can say. And then he just falls over, and it's just, I don't know if gratuitous is the right word for this movie, because they're trying to be as visceral and real as possible, but there is literally blood just squirting all over the place.
Yes, but there would be. It's not there just for the sake of being there. I think that's when gratuitous comes in. It's when you're kind of, you're using it for... manipulatory reasons isn't really what I want to say, but it is when you're reaching for an emotion or reaction from your audience of some kind. And this, I don't feel like is the intention. I feel like it's the realism of it. It's telling the story. We saw him take down a couple guys and we don't see any blood because they were in the chest or in the shoulder or wherever. He shot him in the neck. You're going to see those things. And this is about the horrors of war.
Correct.
So I don't feel like gratuitous is maybe the right word. And maybe I'm just, you know,
I agree with you.
Picking here.
I definitely agree with you on that, the way that works. I mean, again, it shows that Jackson is very skilled in what he does.
Yes.
You know, I can always imagine him as a character that as a youngster, he went hunting with his father in the woods or the mountains, you know.
Yeah.
And he's just using those skills here. You know, that's more or less what it comes down to. And then we get a second or two of him just looking and watching, you know, his handiwork. You know, he gets to watch what he just did. And
yeah, more so than anybody else, yeah. Too.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking through a scope. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he knows the results of what he's doing comparatively.
Correct.
To some guys who might, you know, be shooting from a tank and they don't really see the end of what they're doing. I mean, the only way you could be more involved than Jackson is if you have a sword in your hand or a knife in your hand and you're actually right there.
Correct. Correct. And
there's something powerful about it too, I think.
Yeah. For sure.
He's up there. He's virtually untouchable to those guys running down there.
Correct. And I mean, he tries to shoot one of the guys, and we see that he actually misses two or three shots. And you see that he's starting to get a little more frustrated, the fact that he keeps missing these shots. Like, you know, what's the phrase? It's a bad omen fulfilled, or whatever it is. You know, like he's doing it on his own.
Yeah.
By, you know, he's getting upset about the fact he misses, and then he gets frustrated but because he's frustrated, he keeps missing. It's
Yeah,
a
it's a foregone conclusion
prophecy.
that it's.
What's the term? It's a prophecy.
I
It's a
know what you're thinking of too. It's
self-fulfilling prophecy.
funny. There you go. I kept getting to prophecy and I couldn't get to the
That's it.
beginning of it.
Right.
Good, good, good.
He's basically making himself continue to miss by doing it, the way that he's dealing with stuff. And
I think it's part of the pressure too. We don't have Parker firing anymore, and it's on him to stop these guys to save his friends, to save his team, and he's the last guy there holding them off. And so when we pan to the next shot, there's the impending doom of something that even a sniper can't shoot down.
that's right. And then we see the turret of the tank start to raise up, to rise up towards him.
This
Do you think he notices it right away? You think when he's shooting before he screams, he's gonna scream in a few seconds, but before he screams,
Yeah.
you think he's keeping like half an eye on the tank, or his whole idea is that I want to take out all these guys that are around here, and I'm not worried about the tank right now.
I think, and it could be wrong, I think he's focusing on getting as many guys as he can till he's done. I think I had the feeling before that he kind of knew that this was his swan song, and that's why he was so focused, and I think that's why he got so mad when he started missing, and then the self-fulfilling prophecy happened, was because he was like, I'm going to get as many of these guys as I can before this is over. Because there's no way, if you're a sniper, you're aware of your surroundings. There's no way you can't be.
Correct.
But if he looked at that and paid attention to it and knew that it was edging closer and closer towards him, which, oh my God, this is one of the hardest, worst parts for me to watch in the whole movie. Because you know.
Even though you asked for
And
this part.
yeah, well, yes, but I mean, on the first viewing, you know, or at least I did. I think that's intentional, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know if everybody else had that same experience, but I felt that. And I think that's why it's still so impactful to me too. But I think on some level he knew, and he was purposely ignoring it and getting as many guys as he possibly could before he had to deal with that.
Right. Okay. I mean, again, he did start with dealing with it, because the first thing that we saw him do, when he was shooting, I think it was yesterday, was he took out one of the guys, on the top of the tank. So it's not as if he's completely oblivious to the fact that the danger of the tank is there.
Yeah, that's why I think there's a part of choice that he's choosing to not acknowledge it, so he can focus on the guys that he's trying to shoot
Okay,
for
that's
now.
fair.
Which, but or too, the other possibility is that's what I think. But the other possibility also is that that's why he started missing and why he started getting flustered, was because he was too aware of it being right there, and he didn't think he'd get the guys and get them in time, and he would perish.
Right, sure. And so then we see the turret raise up.
Oh, you see his eye. You see his eye. He knows. He knows. Ah! Oh, that's so brutal.
And
So brutal.
he's looking through the scope, and you see his eye open up, and he's like, "Oh my God, I know what's going on right now." He is sure of it.
And he tries to save his buddy.
And
He
then
tries to save his buddy.
he screams, he looks, and you see the fear on his face, and he screams, "Parker, get down." Now, it's very honorable that he does that, but do you really think that there's any way that Parker can be saved?
If maybe he got him a couple seconds before that,
But where's he
maybe.
gonna go?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. That's why I was a big maybe. I don't know. But at the same time, his last thought was, I'm going to try and save my friend.
No, you gotta give him credit for that. There's no
So,
question about it, but.
maybe there's no chance for either of them, probably. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Where could he have gone? What could he have? Where could he have gone? What could he have done? Could he have gotten? No, he probably would have been done. Even a couple seconds before would have been
Again,
enough.
we saw that the way they got up there was through ropes. It's not, unless they had a rope hanging on the back, for him to go down the bat cave or whatever it is, to get out of there.
Yep. I think they were doomed.
Yeah. And he just
doomed.
screams, "Parker, get down!" And then as he's doing that, we see just the whole area engulfed in flames. It's a great shot because we don't need to see the shot from the tank because we already know it's coming.
Yep.
And the
yep. And that's here, the worst part.
That's right. And the effects.
That's that worst part here is that we know a second before he does.
That's right. Yeah. And then we get another shot of Upham, still hiding on the side there, and he sees all the smoke and fire and mostly smoke, in the area where they just were. So again, once again they give us another view of something that happens from afar so that we see the actual impact of no pun intended, of what exactly has happened there. Which is also why it makes it quite sad. But, now unfortunately we have to rack up two more kills here. So we're up to a total of 11 allied troops, including Jackson. Jackson's the first one that we're familiar with.
Yeah.
But again, it's a great shot from below that we get to see what's going on. And I like the way that they do that. But Upham is just looking up and he can't see anything. They do a great shot of showing us then the smoke coming out of that tower, and then it pans down, and instead of going back to Upham, it now goes to Miller, who's looking up and realizes, that he's now lost another man. Plus, one of the guys from the 101st.
Yeah.
At the same time. And we see also that that Miller's been injured a little bit. There's some blood on his face from a cut from something that got a little too close.
I like too that there's when he looks at the tower. Again, there's really no time to react. There's no time to mourn. There's no time. But just like we saw that one little moment from Jackson when he realized he was done. You have like one moment from Miller where he looks up and he doesn't, it's not even a full side, but it's just he acknowledges it and then he gets right back to it. And then the gun's back up and he's looking down.
That's right.
And that's, I don't know. Yeah. There's something about that.
It's very, very interesting. Now, if you look behind Miller, you can barely see it, but you can see it at second 30. There's something written on the wall behind him. Okay. And what it says, please forgive me for my French pronunciation, but it says chauffage central, right? And I was like, wow, what is that? What does that mean? So I went and looked it up, and it means central heating, which makes no sense. It makes even less sense than I thought before, because I don't know why on the side of a building there would be stenciled on the side saying central heating, and you can't read what's written below it because there's too many bullet holes or pockmarks in the words that are there. So I couldn't tell what the last two words are. But it just
that's really
it
weird.
Just amazes me that it would say central heating. On the one hand, if it would have like an arrow that pointed in a certain direction, then okay, this is central heating is here below or something like that. I don't know. I'm a little confused about it, but oh well.
Yep, I have no idea.
No clue whatsoever. And it's also great that we see a bazooka on the side of the, leaning against the wall.
Yes! Behind them. It's just sitting right there, waiting to be used.
That's right. Maybe someone will use it later. Who knows? And then Miller just starts shooting at the Germans that are on the other side, shooting at them. And we see that they're taking the 20 millimeter and trying to get it somewhat closer to them, but Miller just keeps shooting. And it's funny because he's basically the only one there. He's shooting, and Ryan is next to him, and Ryan gets out like two shots or something like that. And you see that Ryan is scared. Ryan isn't looking at where he's shooting. It reminds me when I was in the army and we had grenade training, and My officer said, "Okay, did you see the target?" And I said, Yeah. I didn't know where the target was, right? And then he's like, "Okay, here's a grenade." He pulled out the pin, put it in my hand, and I just threw it in the direction. And he goes, "You missed that completely." I'm like, "Okay, no problem." Me and grenades just do not go together.
Well, at least it didn't stay in your hand and you threw it.
No,
That
that of course
that's
not.
all
That
that
is right. That is right. The
matters.
one and only
Oh,
time I
gosh.
had a grenade in my hand in my entire life, and I will always remember that. I did not want that in my hand. It was a hot potato. I wanted it out of here.
I feel like that's the right reaction. I think that was wise of you.
True.
Just toss
True.
it. As long as it's not near you,
That's it.
it's good.
Yeah, at least I'm glad I tossed it in the right direction. That's good too. And at this point, we see them shooting back and forth, and Ryben, who's next to Miller, once again a character without a helmet on right now,
Yeah.
again.
And he had his on. What
That's
happened?
right. And he goes, "Captain, that 20 millimeter's killing us." And the response he gets back is, "We got to try to flank it somehow." And then Ryben says, "Well, let me get over the for the top shot," which again, it's a little surprising that Ryben is volunteering for something at this point. But the first thing that he does
Yep.
after he says that, I don't know if you're paying attention. Well, first of all, Miller changes his clip, and then Ryben, what does he do? He puts his helmet on.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. I think he should have had on when people were firing
That's right.
at him. You don't take your helmet
That's
off.
right. And then he.
I'm pretty sure that's a rule. Don't take your helmet off.
That's right. And then he gets up and starts running up a little up this little crater that they're in towards the 20 millimeters. And
Yeah.
that's how this minute and this week will end. We're not going to be able to see what he's going to be doing at this point. We'll have to wait until next week for that.
And someone else,
Yes.
unfortunately, because
Someone
this
else
is
will.
my last day, everyone.
This season, I
For this season.
you have an open invitation. So
I would
and if
always
I
do that.
ever need anyone to fill in, I know I can call Lone Hunter also.
Absolutely.
Again,
Absolutely.
we only have 29 minutes left to the movie, so I don't I hope I don't need to call anyone off the bench.
I hope not either. I couldn't imagine anyone not wanting or not, yeah, not wanting to be there for the end here. It's too sad. But life happens.
Understandable. Understandable. All right.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else you wanted to say about this particular minute or about the movie in general?
Since it's the end for me, I just want to reiterate how much I love this movie and how incredible it is. And going through minute by minute, I've done quite a few of these with you now, and I've done a few others over the years. And I feel like out of all of them that I've done, this is the one where slowing it down and really, really looking at everything, I saw the most more.
Oh, you're just saying
I was able
that,
to appreciate
huh?
more. No, I
Stop
do. I feel
kissing
like I was able
ass.
to appreciate every little moment. I mean, think about it. Think about the guy who went through the window. Like those little pieces that we wouldn't
That's
have
right.
noticed
That's right. Or the blood on the
yeah, like
wall.
that kind of stuff. Yeah, those and that adds so much more to it.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think this has been my favorite in terms of that, and also just finding another way to appreciate
Cool, and you
the
learned
movie.
a new word to use. Do you remember the word?
I did, and I got a couple recommendations from you
That's
as
right.
well, which I'm very
That's
excited
right.
to
Do
watch.
you remember the word that I taught you?
Oh my God, I already forgot it. It's recirculate,
Defenestrate.
recirculate. What is it? What is
Defenestrate.
it? Defenestrate.
It's like defense.
I see.
Think
I've
of
written that down in my
defense.
notes too. That's right there with my
There
movie.
you go.
Yeah, like I said, I'm going to use it. I'm going
I
to use
know,
it.
I know.
Everyone's going to know
That's
it
right.
now.
All right. So every Friday, we have a segment called Filmmaker Friday, where my guests will give their top five Steven Spielberg films. So, Heather, I know this one wasn't easy either, but the way it is.
No, it's so hard. And I'm not even like, I don't even want to do it, but I'm going to, and I'm going to be mad about my choices. But here they are. Number five is Minority Report. I love that movie so much. It's brilliant. And every time I watch it, it's another movie that I can appreciate them on some other level and find things that I didn't see before. It's so good. And I'm a sci-fi girl, so I just love it. Number four, Empire of the
I was
Sun.
wondering where that
I
would fit on
love
your
this.
list.
Yeah, I love it. 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 If you haven't seen it, please go watch it. Just do yourself a favor and
I
watch
just
it.
want you now to know that on this li in this segment, there was only one other person who listed Empire of the Sun, and they listed it as their number one. Scott Myers.
Okay,
He's
well.
the writer of the movie Canine.
All right, Scott Myers, writer of the movie Canine, which maybe I'll go see now. We're going to become
He's
best friends.
a film
Anyway.
professor in the Chicago area.
See, he lives like, only a few hours away. Best friend. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. All right, my number three, and this one pains me, and I know this is probably Jay's number one, is Jurassic Park.
It is Jay's number one.
Jurassic.
Why am I, you know.
Yeah. It's Jurassic Park. I mean, it's probably one of my most watched movies of all time. I could watch it on repeat. I'm never going to get tired of it. It's probably the movie that I quote the most to my children. I love it. It's classic. It's perfect. It's great. My number two is Saving Private Ryan for all the reasons that we've talked about this past week. And my number one, Raiders of the Lost Ark. What am I going to do? Dun
Makes sense.
dun 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 dun. I literally just wrote an ode to Temple of Doom the other day too. I used the bridge scene as a muse at the end with Mala Ram. Yeah, I love Spielberg. So that's the thing about Spielberg though. I mean, not only has he made so many incredible movies, genre-wise too, they're across the board so different in so many capacities. I mean, there's just nothing that the man can't do. So, and I know that some people might kill me for not having Jaws on there, but I love Jaws, but it's not breaking my top five.
Okay, it's completely understandable.
It is.
No, it's because there's so many to choose from here. That's the issue.
That's exactly it. That's why when it comes to some directors, especially ones that like have really, really good variety of style and genre. Ridley Scott's another one too, that I'm like, okay, if you have a completely different top five than me, and in some cases I'm just gonna argue with someone, but both of those directors, I'm not gonna argue for the most part. Unless E.T. is in your top five, because I don't like E.T.
You're not a fan of ET? Oh, wow.
No, I know, and I like to say it out loud as often as
Well,
I can. I know it's a
after
hot
I'm
take, but the more I've said it out loud, I found that I am not the only one that suffers from the dislike of E.T.
okay. That is fair.
It's not a bad movie. It's not a bad movie. I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm just saying I don't particularly like it.
You don't have to, as I always say to people. If we all liked the exact same movies the same way, it would be boring to talk about it. So, it gives us something to talk
So boring.
about. Like you say,
Yeah,
there's a
it would
movie
be
I
so
don't like
boring.
or a movie that I do like, and we can have a discussion as to why. That's what makes it fun. And it's not a question of one of us being right or wrong about that conversation. I mean, I still remember this was probably about 5 or 6 years ago. There was a guy that I became friends with online, and we had a very long conversation about Back to the Future. He said he doesn't get it. He did, never enjoyed it. And we had a back and forth email conversation that I ended up publishing on my blog at one point with our conversations about me trying to convince him as to why he needs to give the movie another shot. And so it was a really cool conversation, the way that we did it.
Did he end up giving it another shot?
Yes, he did.
Did he end up liking it or feeling different about it?
Yes, he did. I don't think
That's awesome.
I don't think it became his favorite movie, but or
Yeah.
he learned to appreciate it a little more.
I definitely have done that over the years with certain things. I realized enough, and the opposite has happened with some things too. Movies that I've been adamant about being fantastic and great, you know, we watch so many movies that sometimes 10 years go by and you're like, I haven't watched that in 10, 15 years. And you go watch it again and realize it wasn't as good as you remembered it was, or it hasn't aged very well too. But I do like to go back and listen to or watch. I was thinking music for some reason, but I do like to go back and rewatch things. Like if someone asked me to give ET another chance now, I haven't watched it since I was a kid. I would watch it again. I would
So
see.
maybe you
I have
should.
no inclination to do so on my own without prodding from somebody else. I'm not going to on my own time without some kind of nudge. But yeah, I think it's better to be open that way anyway. I think that's really cool that you published that and he ended up being able to appreciate it though. That's really great.
Yes. I'll send you the link if you're interested in reading.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, here. Okay, here it is. The guy is his name was Pat from Movie Review 365. But he this was in this was 10 years ago. Wow. It was in 2015.
Oh my
Wow.
goodness. We've been doing this for a long time.
Yes. That have a why is that bad?
Well, no, it's a good thing. I just find it interesting now when I tell people things. I'm like, yeah, it's been like, oh, I've known them for 15 or 20 years. Like a lot of my blogging and podcasting and movie crews. Like I've known some of you guys way longer than I've known people that are in my live action part of my
Yes,
life.
yes, yes. I'm the same way, but that there's nothing wrong with that. I don't, you know, I have,
No, it's good.
you know, because there are people in my live action life that I cannot have these type of conversations with, and that's what it comes down to,
Exactly.
you know.
Exactly. It's really great. It's one of the beautiful things about the
Yes,
internet.
that is true. That is true, and we can do it all from all the way across the world.
I know. I love telling my kids. I love telling some of my friends that, you know, we podcast with. Like I did someone from Egypt a couple months ago. You're in Israel, and then I'm like, I have a whole block of people that are in the UK, and then people that are in Australia, and then I have a friend that's in Japan. I think it's wonderful. It's so great.
The issue though is the time zone thing, trying to figure that out. But you know, that's
Yes. Yes. But by the way, you're far more accommodating with that than most people. I appreciate it.
well,
I do.
I figured out, you know. But again, all the kudos go to my wife for allowing me to be flexible.
Yes, it helps to have a supportive
Yes,
partner. It really does.
she hates that I do this, but that's a separate issue. Yeah. She still, after all these years, she still doesn't understand how I get enjoyment out of doing this, of sitting and just talking for hours upon hours around hours about the same movie. She can't understand it, you know, but she said, well, if you enjoy it, that's what's important, you know, so.
Indeed. And that's the most important part right
That's
there.
right. All right. So Heather, thank you very much for joining me once again. Would you like to tell people one last time this season how they can get in touch with you?
Yes, you all can find me on my website. It is easy to remember. It's heatherbaxendale.com. You can find my books on there. You can find all the podcasting that I do on there. You can also find all my social media, and if you'd like to stay on top of all of it, you can sign up for the newsletter as well. And yeah, that's about it.
Very cool. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Route Minute. You can find me on my website, movieroutminute.com. You can send me an email at movieroutminute@movieroutminute.net. You can find me on Facebook, find me on Twitter, and you can find me on Instagram. So, Heather, like I said, thank you very much once again for joining me. I will be back on Monday with a new guest, but until then, earn this.
Earn that.
In my solitude, you haunt me.